What is God's will for your life? Today, we wonder what God's will is for us when it comes to situations such as the following. Should I marry that person or no, God? Should I take that job offer or not? Should I attend this college or that one? What do you want me to be when I grow up, God? God, do you want me to have a new car or not? God, is it your will that the Packers finally win the Super Bowl? It never seems to be. The reality is, dear believer in Jesus Christ, that God's will for us is much greater than all of these situations and their potential outcomes. God has not ordained us to simply live a life of this or that situation. His will for his children is to live spiritual lives, beginning with the gospel of his beloved Son and continuing in that gospel. He desires us to live out the work he began in us, in you, at salvation, dear Christian. As Christians, God's will for us is that the gospel of his Son, as I just said, continue to work in us. Because of this, we are required to live out that gospel in our lives. So the question that the sermon is centered around today, what the question we are going to be answering in the Word of God is, what is God's will for the Christian's life? What is God's will for the Christian's life? In his letter to the Colossians, Paul begins the letter by thanking God for the Colossians' faith in Christ Jesus and their love for the saints. The Colossians had heard the gospel, they had believed the gospel, and the gospel continued to bear fruit and increase in their lives, as well as in the whole world. Now, as Paul ends his thanksgiving for them unto God, he begins to pray for them, specifically that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will for them in their lives. This morning, we are going to see the two aspects of God's will for the Christian's life. And the first is that we know his will by his Spirit. That we know his will by his Spirit. Let's look down in our Bibles at verse 9. Paul tells the believers here, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So Paul and the apostles in the early church, they had heard what the gospel was doing in the lives of the people at the Colossian church. And now he's praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will. What is he asking here for the Colossians? What is he asking God for? Notice the word filled there. Can you notice that word? That word is used in a passive sense. This knowledge of God that Paul is asking the Colossians to be filled with is actually God is the one that is going to fill them with his knowledge. But what is this knowledge? What is he talking about? This knowledge is of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ's work, his message, his truth, beginning when they believed and continuing. Previously, in the previous verses, what Paul was hearing about was the gospel working in their life, and he refers to it as the word of the truth, the message of the truth of who God is and what he's doing in his Son, Jesus Christ. But this idea of filling here is the idea that Paul is asking God for the believers, the Colossians, to have a fuller and deeper understanding of God's will for their lives in the gospel, in his truth. He's praying, he's pleading unto God for them to have a fuller and deeper knowledge of that. What God desires for them in his truth, in the message of his truth, in the message of his beloved Son. Believers in Jesus Christ, today, God's will for us has not changed. It is to know the same gospel of his beloved Son, his truth, the message of his truth in Jesus Christ. We also have the whole Bible. We're so blessed in America to have the Bible coming out of our ears. I don't know if you're like me, but I have a lot of Bibles. I'm very blessed. The message of his truth in that Bible, what it talks about, it bears the gospel of his beloved Son. That the Colossians would have a deeper, fuller knowledge of that, of God's will for them in his word, that we would have that knowledge and deeper understanding. But notice here, the next part of this, after the knowledge of his will, he says, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. There is something at work here in the believer. Notice the word spiritual. The word spiritual is that of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit in the believer is the source of the wisdom and understanding needed to know God's will and the truth of his message and his word and the gospel. In 1 Corinthians, when Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, he says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." The fact is, believer in Jesus Christ, that God's Spirit is at work in you ever since you understood the gospel. God's work began in the Colossians when they had heard and understood the grace of God in truth. And it's the same gospel, it's his same message that is at work in me and you today. Do you believe that? But the Holy Spirit gives us the understanding to further understand God's will for us and the message of his truth and the gospel and how to rightly live it out in wisdom. What is the architect's job? Well, they are the ones that draw out the complex blueprints that construction teams use to build structures. The architect hears from the client what exactly they want, and the architect draws up exactly that. Now, if the builders follow the architect's blueprint, they will understand and do exactly what the client wants. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is the believer's architect. He helps us to know and understand exactly what the Father desires us to do in his will, in the message of his truth. In the Colossians' life, it is to have a deeper understanding and knowledge of Christ's gospel. And it is the same for you, believer. It is the same for us today. So, is the knowledge of God's will and his word, the message of his truth that you and I know from the Bible, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that the center of your life? Just like the Colossians, God desires that they have a fuller understanding, to continue in knowing the gospel, the truth of His word. Think for a moment about your life. Do any of us ever think of God, knowing God's will, as furthering our knowledge of Christ? And acknowledging God's will in all the situations of life, in the this or that situations, do we ever stop and consider what the Christian's life is all about? Are we as believers in Jesus Christ, you are called a Christian, are we consumed with the message, the truth of God's word? Well, I know the gospel and all that. I grew up knowing that. I know a bunch of memory verses. I got it down. But how do I even base my life around just Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? I know all that. Unlike the Colossians, as I've mentioned, we have the complete written will of God in the Bible. An inspired word of God that is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training for righteousness. But even if we didn't have our Bibles, like many of our brothers and sisters in Christ don't, they are in chains at the moment. Christ is enough. The message of who He is. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Knowing Him and His gospel is God's will for our lives by the Spirit's working within us. In seeking to know Christ and His message in your life, do you rely on other wisdom and knowledge rather than the Holy Spirit in this pursuit of knowing God, knowing His truth? Again, we've grown up in church, right? We know all that. We know the gospel. We've got it down. Christ came as a babe, went to the cross, died, rose again. I'm good. I've got it down. I understand the gospel. I know what I need to know. I know John 3:16. I've got it memorized. I even know verse 17. Believer in Jesus Christ, the gospel did not end at the resurrection. It is something that continues to work in the believer's life until they die. Knowing the gospel, the truth of God and His will, His word, is a never-ending endeavor, believer in Christ. You also need the Holy Spirit. We need Him to help guide us in all wisdom and understanding. We're not alone in this. So we see that the first thing God wills for our lives is to know His will by His Spirit. And the second is that we do His will through His power. That we do His will through His power. Let's look down at verse 10. Paul is getting at, he just mentioned to know God's will. And the purpose of knowing God's will is this exactly what we're going to read right now. This is the purpose of that. He says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Believer, God's will for us in this life is to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we so claim we know. Look down and notice the words, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What does that mean? In other words, you could say it is living in a way consistent with your status as a Christian, as many have said. The word walk there, notice that. It's another word for live. And it pictures life as a whole. Walking in a manner worthy of the Lord is your whole life. Walk also means live there. Notice what he says right after that. Fully pleasing him. What is the goal of this, walking in a manner worthy of the Lord? Fully pleasing our Father in heaven. Living in the way God desires us to live in the fullest extent of our lives, fully, in every way, living this Christian life of the gospel to please our Heavenly Father. What was Jesus consumed with when he was on this earth? He said, I must always do those things that please him. He wanted to please the Father. In Thessalonians, Paul again, talking to the church at Thessalonica, he says, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do more and more. Everyone understands what it looks like to live a day of your job seeking to please your boss. Your boss tells you when to do your job, how to do your job, and where to do it. If you're a good worker, you're going to do the job you're assigned, and you're going to do it with your best effort to please your boss. This is our thought process at work. But if this is our mentality in our jobs, how much greater of a mentality, dear believer in Jesus Christ, should we have to live this life for the gospel, for Jesus Christ, for the Father, for his truth? How much greater? But also, living a life worthy of the gospel looks like a life of God's power at work. So, he just says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Well, what does this look like now? The Word of God's going to explain. It's going to tell us. Let's look down at verse 10. By the way, verse 10 is actually, from 10 to 14, is one whole sentence. That's a whole sentence right there. Woof. It looks like bearing fruit. It looks like the good works we do in our Christian life. In other words, looking at it as spiritual produce from our works that we're doing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That which honors the Father. Fruit bearing. Earlier in this, in chapter 1, Paul describes the gospel, the message of the truth that they've received, as that which has come to the Colossians, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing. He previously mentioned this. But this is what the gospel looks like in the believer's life, the message of the truth of God's word. It looks like bearing fruit as well as increasing in knowing God. This includes his will, by which we've actually been talking about before, the knowledge of his will. We talked about how the Spirit gives wisdom and understanding to increase in knowing God, knowing his will for us in his word today, and the hundreds of Bibles we have in the gospel truth. We can see, believers, in this text that it's not only the believers in Colossae that are working here. It is God at work in them, bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God. This Holy Spirit, do you believe he is in you today working? Or are you trying to live the gospel of your own initiative? It also looks like being strengthened with God's power. The fact is, Christian, that you serve the Almighty Yahweh. He has not changed since he spoke to Abraham. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Correct? Do you believe that? Well, it also looks like God's power working within us. Look down there, verse 11. This is being strengthened with all power. Is this talking about the Colossians doing it themselves? No, they are the ones being strengthened right here to live out the gospel life with all power, all the power there is, a power that is unnatural to man but can only be from Almighty God. According to his glorious might. According to his glorious might. There is no other might out there like Yahweh, like our Lord, our Heavenly Father. One commentator says it like this: this is being strengthened by God with the greatest strength imaginable. In the life of the gospel, it looks like this. It also looks like endurance and patience. Notice in the text. The reality is, dear believer in Jesus Christ, that if you have chosen to follow Jesus, you have not chosen to live a life of ease. You are immediately at the point of belief in Jesus Christ. You are in a warfare. You are a soldier. You are fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yet Christ has overcome. Christ has overcome. Amen? In this life of the gospel, believer, it takes endurance. It takes patience. The idea of endurance here is that God strengthens believers to endure living out the gospel despite hardship. Do not believe people who tell you today that if you live of the gospel, you will have everything you want. That is a lie. It is false teaching. God has not promised you to give you that Ferrari or to have millions of dollars. What he's promised you is that he will powerfully work within you, believer. This is the gospel. He will help you to endure our brothers and sisters in chains right now, losing everything. We live quite comfortably. We don't really know persecution here yet. Many of you may have been persecuted before for your faith. We're very spoiled here. We're very thankful, very blessed. But it's not always like that. And the battle within ourselves is ever ending, right? Never ending. He gives us endurance. He also gives us patience. One commentator puts the patience like this: it's a calm and control amidst the endurance, amidst the race of life and the gospel in the storm. He gives endurance and patience. Notice the next thing. With joy, giving thanks. Now, if you notice, there's a semicolon after "with joy." Actually, the "with joy" goes with the giving thanks there. It's the preposition of that. It goes before it. In all of the endurance and patience in the gospel living, believer, guess what we are to do in this life? We're to joyfully give thanks in this race, in the gospel, and living out the will of God in this message. Why? Why should we give joyful thanksgiving? What reasons? Well, I believe we could go on for years giving that. But let's see why. With joyful thanksgiving to the Father, the first reason is that he has qualified us to share in the inheritance. This is our spiritual privilege in Christ, as one puts it. This is what we have been given in Christ, our inheritance, our eternal life, our relationship with God. He has made us able to have that inheritance, believer. Do you believe that? Do you see that? Do you remember that in your life? What else? The Father has delivered us from the domain of darkness. and he's transferred us to his beloved Son's kingdom. Do we realize, believers, that before Christ, before we looked in faith to Jesus Christ, we were in bondage to the domain of darkness, of Satan and the world and the flesh, and you were an object of God's wrath? We all were, fully, righteously deservant of it. But he has delivered us from that, believer in Jesus Christ. He's delivered us from that. The power of darkness, he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Amen? Amen. In the gospel, our lives, we have been transferred from that. Give thanks, be joyful in that, in this life of doing God's will, of living it. While we have all the joy to have, right? I could go on. But how is this all possible, believer? Things are culminating now in this prayer he's praying for them. Notice that he ends this prayer reminding them. He says in verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He had just mentioned we'd been transferred to the kingdom of the beloved Son. It's in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is all possible. All of it's possible, being strengthened, bearing fruit, knowing God because of Jesus Christ, the redemption and the forgiveness in Christ that we have as believers. You, me, we were once a slave. We have been bought back. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Do we give thanks for that? Are we joyful for that today? It culminates, this prayer, it culminates in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth of God's word in Christ. Our lives must start with the gospel and continue in it. So are you living a life worthy of Christ? Does your life reflect bearing fruit, increasing in knowing God, relying on God's strength, and giving joyful thanks? Let me ask you a question today, believer. Are you living your life of the gospel to please yourself, to please others, to please your desires? Or are we living it unto Almighty God, who has called us by his mighty hand to live his will, to live the gospel of his Son? Is this gospel bearing fruit in your life? Are you seeing fruit in the good works that God is being glorified in, that he is doing a work in that? Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Do you desire to know his will, to know what he desires of us? Do you rely on God's strength and power to help you endure, or your own strength in this gospel life? And do we give thanks with joy at the reality of our redemption and inheritance in Jesus Christ? This prayer can really be summed up with these words: he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. As was read this morning, that was very good. The fact is, if God has begun a work in us, though we fail daily, though we are yet sinners, Christ has overcome, and we must respond with our lives being consumed with the gospel, believer. We must wake up, and live for Christ. Lives dedicated to living out his will, for which is the wonderful gospel and his amazing word that we see in the Bible. And also, this is a prayer, believers. You know what we can do with this? We can pray this for other believers' lives at New Life Fellowship. Pray for one another, for God's will in their life. God, the work you began in that person, continue to do it to your glory. Continue to prosper that in them, that Christ would be exalted. God's will should not be seen as mysterious when it comes to how our lives should look as Christians. The reality is, God's will began when we believe the gospel, and his will continues to work in us through the gospel, accomplishing his will and his word and his truth. Since God helps us to know his will and live it out, the Holy Spirit, right? We have no excuse but to live our lives worthy of Christ and the gospel, his glorious word. So now that we have God's will, for our lives. In this prayer, he's praying for the Colossians. May we endeavor to do his will by his Spirit and through his power. God's will for the Christian's life is that we know his will by his Spirit, that is, in his word, in the gospel, and that we do his will through his power. That life of bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened by his might, giving joyful thanks. To Christ be the glory. He's coming again. Do you believe that? We will stand before our Savior. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you that you have made known to us your will in your word, in the precious word of God, in the gospel that has come to us as the Colossians and so changed our life that we are able to live out that gospel that we know that you have helped us to know by your power. We are able to live it out through your power. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you for this prayer in your word. May we seek to pray this for others, Lord. May we seek to live out your will on this earth, because your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, Jesus, may you receive the glory and praise. We give you thanks. Thank you because this is a hard life of the gospel, but it's a joyous life, and you are faithful. You are good. We pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.